Thanks for listening to this message from Fusion. You can find more messages at fusionbc.com.
I want you to look around the room for a second, and I want you to just ask yourself, what do you see? When you look around, what do you see? Maybe you see Christians. I said ask yourself. Maybe you see believers. Maybe you see saints. Maybe you see sinners. I don't know. Some of these might be more judgmental. But what I see is potential leaders. I see people who have all of the potential, all of the calling, and all of the gifting to do something amazing for God, every single one of us. And if you're sitting there this morning and you don't think that you qualify for that, you're wrong. Oftentimes, shame and condemnation of the enemy tries to convince us otherwise, but the truth is, God doesn't create anybody that He doesn't have amazing plans for. Sometimes the enemy tricks us into comparing ourselves to other people, and you see what they do, and maybe you don't think you're called to ministry because you can't do what they do, but that's simply a misdirection from the enemy to rob you of the glory of what God wants to do in your life. Because all of us are called to disciple other people, to minister to one another, to share our faith, to share our heart, to love and to pray for one another, to stand together with brothers and sisters in Christ and walk with them through the valleys and carry them to the mountaintops, to rip off the roof if we have to let our friends down to Jesus. All of us are called to that. All of us. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a leader. I'll use a little more biblical word, okay? You're a disciple. You're a disciple maker. This isn't hype or a passing phase that's going on in Fusion right now with what we're doing with Outreach Sunday. This is the very heart of God. This is a commitment, and I want you to get this today because I know sometimes when churches do drives and we put great effort and we talk about something for a few weeks, I'll let you go in a second. Relax, sit down. I got you here for a reason. I'm talking to the teachers too, and then I'll let you go. I know that sometimes we think that when churches have these pushes and things that we get involved and it's good for a little bit and then it's going to be over, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lifelong commitment to the plan of God in your life that will lead you from whatever little steps you might take today to the fullness of what God has in store for you. There will be days of excitement and passion and joy, and there will be days of struggle and just carrying your cross through the wilderness. Come on, somebody. But if you will commit to that life, I promise you, the blessings will far outweigh the struggles. I look at our life and I have figured it out. It's about 20%. About 20% of our ministry life has been struggle. The other 80% have been amazing. I'll take those odds. Can you say amen? Yeah, there's struggle, but every time I get to the end of the struggle, I have blessings. So I challenge you today with this. This isn't a passing phase, but a commitment in your life to discovering the fullness that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
You agree with that?
Amen.
All right, children, you may be dismissed. Teachers, you may be your class. Thank you all for your patience. The rest of you, I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Eric Fusion, we have a motto. We say, God is our source, but people are our purpose. And this is why, because God has sent all of us out to be disciple makers. Make disciples of all nations. In other versions, like for instance in the King James, I like the first part of that in the King James because he said, all power is given unto me. When you look at that word power up, it doesn't just mean authority, it also means the ability. How many knows God doesn't just have the authority to speak, He's got the power to make it happen.
Amen.
Amen. All authority has been given to Him. And then He tells them, go on and He says teaching, but really when you look that word up in the original language, it doesn't really mean teaching. It means cause others to learn. Make others into learners is really I know it doesn't translate very good into English. That's the reason why they translated the way they translate it. But the literal translation of that word is make other people learners. Well, disciples kind of fits that better, right? Go make disciples. That makes it make sense. So we've been sent to disciple the world. And I know that sometimes when we look at these, we think about pastors, evangelists, ministries, but really that's not true. Some of the greatest men I've known in my life weren't really much of a preacher or much of a pastor, but what they did was they took moments of their life and poured them into other people, mentoring people, loving on people, being there for them, pouring out wisdom, pouring out direction, holding their hands in their struggle, encouraging when they needed to move forward. That's discipleship. Jesus wasn't a disciple because he sat on top of the mountain and preached to 5,000 people. Jesus was a disciple maker because he took 12 men and he ate with them, slept with them, lived with them, taught them, poured his heart into them. Even when he knew they wouldn't understand it all, he gave it to them anyway, trusting that the power of the Holy Spirit, when he come, would take all of these things they didn't understand, and suddenly they would make sense by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And where they were afraid to go with Jesus because he was persecuted, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, "You bunch of snakes and vipers that killed Jesus." Boldness was born out of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And as pastors, as leaders, as teachers, it's important for us to understand that. We pour all that we have out, but it's trusting in the Holy Spirit to make it work in your heart. And I share that with you because you're going to have to do the same thing. Whether it's in outreach ministries, whether it's in discipleship, whether it's in child rearing, you pour out all that you have and then trust the Holy Spirit to make it work. If you take the responsibility of making it work, you'll just burn out and quit. You'll be frustrated and mad all the time because you can't make it work. Only Jesus Christ can make it work. Come on, somebody. But the more you pour out, Jesus said, "Give with the same measure it shall be given, shaken together, pressed down, and running over shall men give unto your bosoms." More you pour out of your heart for God, the more God will pour into you. So we have evangelism, outreach, and ministry. That means invite, serve, and lead. That's what we're called to. Invite people to Jesus. Invite them to church. Invite them into worship. Invite them into times of prayer. Invite them to be a part of what God is doing. Serve them, outreach. We go and we minister to needs. We go to mamas and pray with them. We have, you know, people here from Hope for Life that are just serving hundreds of women every year who find themselves in a situation where they're going to have a baby, and maybe it was planned, and maybe it wasn't, and maybe they're in a place in their life where they're ready for that, and maybe they're not. But either way, they have somebody there to pray with them, teach them, share with them, help them, show them what to expect, show them how to prepare. What an amazing ministry. And on and on and on. You're going to be amazed at how many ministries set of tables in here today. It's going to be awesome. And then we lead. You understand the word lead doesn't mean to tell people what to do. Paul said it like this. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You go first. Anybody can stand and be a dictator. That's not what God is looking for. Jesus, being Lord of all, girded himself with a towel and got down and washed his disciples' feet. I don't really care how much you know or how big you are until I can see how much you love to serve God's people. Amen. Listen, our 101 through 103 classes, which are growth tracks, introduce you, one, to church, two, how to serve God on a regular day-to-day basis, and three, discovering your gifts and callings. If you're not taking advantage of those, I encourage you to do that. Because they're just little boosts along your path with God to help you refocus, recenter, reorganize, and keep going. Here at Fusion, what we're trying to do is create an empowering culture designed to allow others to lead when they're ready. This isn't about me. It's not about our elders. It's about you discovering God's purpose and plan, discovering God's calling and gifting, discovering the fullness of what he has for you, so that you can go and be the church outside these four walls. It's amazing how many people are praying for a move of God, but when you talk to them, what they're really thinking about is just something happening in the church. I don't think that's where the next move of God is going to be. I think the next move of God is when we get out of the church and start to move. You want to stir up the Spirit of God. Get out of your four walls. Get out of comfort zone, like Danny was saying, go out into the world and begin to live the life the gospel tells us to live for others so that we bring them to Christ. The harvest is ready, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into the field. I'm praying God sets a fire in your britches to get you out of your chair and out into the world telling somebody about Jesus. Can you say amen? Obviously, I don't mean a literal fire. Unfortunately, we live in an age where most churches hold people long after they're ready to start, or they push people unqualified into the wrong positions. You know why that happens? Because we're not walking with people and encouraging them along the way in discovering where they're gifted and where they're called. And so they wait until there's a need and there's a void and there's something not getting done. And then you just pick somebody they think is a good person and they shove them in that job. And now you've got a song leader that can't sing. By the way, if you can't sing, you won't be on this worship team singing. I would rather find where you are gifted and help you do that. Because you'll be satisfied and we'll be satisfied. There's a reason why I don't get up here and sing much. They're all better at it than I am. Right, baby? But the thing is, I don't want to get distracted because it's not really about being ready for that leadership. It's not really about your experience and it's not really about training. It's about commitment. It's about your character, and it's about your passion. You see, we can't choose our gifts. We can't choose our calling. We can't even choose the timing in which God decides to move and use us in our life. But what we can choose is to be committed. What we can choose is to walk in character. And what we can choose is whether or not we serve God and do our things that we can do with passion. I don't care if it's cleaning the toilet, sweeping the floor, parking cars, making coffee. All of these things make church work. But you can either do it with passion and be blessed by it, or you can do it because you think you've got something better to do and you're just trying to bide your time to get something better to do. Fulfillment and joy will come from your passion in serving, not just from showing up. Amen? And the truth is that ability without character always leads to collapse. You've seen them on TV, these famous preachers that fall. Why? Because they had ability, but they chose not to have the character it takes to keep it going. Their ability got them into a position that their character couldn't sustain. You don't have to be a televangelist for that to happen to you. So I encourage you, commitment, character, and passion for the things you should be focusing on. If you have a gift for music, your passion will cause you to practice and to learn and to develop that. That's the reason why you don't see me up here playing very much. I don't have any passion for it anymore. I love it. It's great. But I don't have the commitment and the passion to do it because I'm more passionate and more committed about seeing other people raised up and seeing other people growing in the Lord and seeing other people being developed. You know what gives me more passion than playing a guitar and singing? Watching Alex play his guitar. I can remember when he was about 15 maybe, and he's playing the piano a little bit, and then one day he decided he would play the guitar. Anybody remember that? It was kind of a frustrating time for me because, to be honest with you, in about 6 months, he went from not being able to play to being way better than I was. I didn't think that was fair of God. Until I begin to watch the anointing of the Lord move on his life as he plays and as he worships, and I realize, that's the reason why that gifting is there, because look at the calling that's there. And I'm not really called to that. I don't have that much passion for it because I'm not called to that. I'm called to lead people into greater levels of their worship of Christ. I remember when Brendan came and he didn't have any facial hair. I mean, he tried a little bit, but... And he could play and he loved worship. And then when we started Fusion, and I started talking, and I discovered that he had this desire to lead worship. And I remember when we opened that door, walking in the, listen, we had had service about, and don't nobody come up to me and comment afterward about how worship was before. We had had, shut up. We'd had worship about 4 or 5 weeks. Brendan got up and led, and the first week he led, it was like, shoo, you just see the gift and the call just explode out of him. It's typical. That's what I'm passionate about, is see people breaking into ministry, going and doing outreach, and developing, learning, growing, being used by God. That's what I'm passionate about. That's why we're here. That's what this is all about. I want to help you discover what God has called you to be. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus is talking to a guy one time. He says, what's the great commandment? And he said, what do you think? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And Jesus said, you said so. He said, and to love your neighbor like yourself. Jesus said, you said well. For that is the first and great commandment. That word great there, when you look it up in the Greek, it's the word megas. It means mega. The big one is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And what I find is if you will love the Lord with all that you are, you'll find the great commandment will lead you to the great commission, where Jesus is speaking in your ear and telling you, go and preach. Share, make disciples, give your life for them, pour your heart into them, sacrifice today and watch them develop and grow. And the blessing that comes from that will make life worth living. The Great Commandment always will lead you to the Great Commission. If you show me somebody who's not having the Great Commission, like just urging in their heart, I need to do something for God, I need to work for the Lord, I need to share my faith, then it's because they haven't allowed the Great Commandment to take full effect in their heart. Because when the love of God dwells in you, it causes you to love people so much, you just want them to see Jesus like you see Jesus. You just want them to experience His presence like you experience His presence. You just want to see the joy and the peace and the glory that you know you find in Him. You want to see them have that too. That's what drives people. If you're driven into ministry because you want to be seen, that's not God driving you into ministry. That's pride. And what you're going to find is that it's a really bad position to be in if you're in it for the wrong reasons. Because this might look glorious from that seat, but you got no idea how much beatings you take when you step into this post. You got no idea. You're always wrong in somebody's eyes, no matter what you do. Everybody knows how to do church. It doesn't matter that you think you have a vision from God as the pastor. Everybody knows what you ought to do. Everybody you try to help winds up hurt because you didn't do it the way that they wanted you to do it. I heard a pastor say one time, I don't even know why that guy's mad at me. I never tried to help him. But you see, people get into ministry sometimes thinking that the reasons why you get into ministry is because you do things and then people appreciate you and honor you. That's not why you do it. You do it because you know that for every 10 people that beat you up and stay in the boat, there'll be that one water walker that will step out and let God move in his life. You know, I was thinking about that one. You know, I used to say it takes 11 boat huggers to make one water walker because it seemed like a pretty good trend. Seemed about right. But you know what I realized one day? When the disciples were in the boat, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. The Holy Spirit is what ought to give you the boldness to get out of the boat and walk on water. It's Him we should be relying on, not the boat, not whether or not we might sink. Because even if I sink, I know the Bible says Jesus was there and immediately He reached down and took Him by the hand and lifted Him up. God's not going to let you fail if you depend upon Him. Let the Holy Spirit drive you out of the boat, please. Fusion Church is founded on the purpose of bridging that gap. We see the call of God in Matthew chapter 28 to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And we see also Ephesians chapter 4, how the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip and charge up the body. Somebody say the body. The body to fulfill the call. He goes on there and he says, where every joint supplies. Can I ask you a question? And don't get mad at me. Because I'm not here to chastise you, I'm here to encourage you. This is Outreach Sunday, and you're going to see a bunch of ministry stuff today, and I'm hoping God will spark your heart and cause you to want to get involved in one of them. But can I ask you something as you're sitting where you are? Is your joint supplying anything? If you're just a fingertip, are you feeling like the fingertip ought to feel? If you're a foot, are you going where the body ought to go? If you're a hand, are you reaching out? Every joint supplies. What are you supplying? What are you supplying? Well, I come to church and I clap my hands and I wave and I dance and I... Well, that's great, but that's for you. What are you supplying for others? Amen? Can I say that without making you mad? What are you supplying for others? And some of you are doing a fantastic job. I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to chasing you. I'm not saying that nobody's doing anything. We have an amazing church, and I am constantly amazed and blown away at how much is going on around here. You guys are awesome. That's why we're here today, to celebrate that. But at the same time, there might be some of you here, and you might be sitting through this whole purpose series thinking, what should I be doing? What could I be doing? Maybe there's something. There is something. And as I've said all along, if you don't know what to do, just start somewhere. When a need arises, meet it. When someone needs help, help them. It doesn't have to be in the building, you know. In fact, I would say if 20% of the people in church is doing something in the church, that is more than sufficient. The other 80% ought to be involved out there. And most of us are going to be involved both places. Because what I do in church is just a small part of what I do. Yet there's this gap, the distance between what we see in ministry and churches today and what we see in that first century church with the disciples and how they loved and how they gave and how they served. And I think as we lean upon the Holy Spirit and we ask Him for wisdom and we ask Him for direction and we quit looking around at what today's church is doing and get our eyes on what the Holy Spirit is saying, I think we'll begin to discover there's so much more that we can be involved in. So much more of our heart, so much more of our life can be caught up in the things of God. We still have jobs, we still have children, we still have all of the other things in life. I understand that. Nobody's trying to discount that. I'm not telling you to quit your jobs or let your children go or don't feed your husband. I'm just saying God has a lot more for us than what a lot of people take part in. Can you say amen? Amen. It's hard to meddle, but I'll let it go. A culture, today's modern church is often a culture where we have a select few working for God and a multitude attending a religious function, mostly in order to soothe a conscience or fulfill a sense of duty. So I'm going to ask you in our prayer time today, ask yourself, do you come to church because you're called of God? Or do we come to church because it's what you're supposed to do and you don't want to be cursed and you don't want God mad at you and all these religious ideas? Because Jesus come that we could have a relationship with Him. And out of that relationship that we create a love and a desire to serve Him and to serve others and to be used by Him. Amen? Because these other things is not the fullness of God's holy ordained calling to the church. The church wasn't called just to meet in the building and jump and shout and clap and sing and dance. I don't really see a lot of dancing, by the way, but that's okay. I'm just saying you can if you want to. But the reason why we come here is to charge our batteries, to be edified, to be encouraged, to get some strength and some education and some direction. So when we leave this building, we leave with purpose. We leave with a plan. We leave with a heart to serve. We leave with the heart that is so excited about Jesus Christ and what He can do. We really leave this building believing we could change the world. You know that you should leave church every week really believing you can change the world. If it's only in one person's life at a time, you still change the world. Come on, somebody. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 36. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. We are called to spread this gospel. We're called to teach this gospel. We're called to give it out. We're empowered through the cross and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, and it is a belief of mine that now is the time that the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to rise up in the empowerment of God's grace and begin to spread the word of this gospel like never before in our generation. Now is that time. Because look at how crazy the world is getting. More than any other time in my life, they need to hear it now more than ever. They need to hear that somebody died for you, that somebody was willing to sacrifice for you, that somebody wasn't so narcissistic that they only cared about them and themselves and their Facebook posts and how they feel. That they were willing to die for you so everybody didn't have to run around offended and hurt because somebody hurt their feelings. You said my trigger word, it's your fault. Come on. I want to start a man up movement where we tell all these snowflakes to get over it.
Yeah. Amen.
He was willing to bleed and die. He did it by choice for you. And that's our example. Not to get everything the way we want, but to serve so somebody else can have. That, in my opinion, is manhood. Amen? Come on. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Those of you men that won't let your wife go to women's meeting because you don't want to be alone with your children, you need to man up. Hello? Once is enough. I'm just going to leave that there for you. No, but seriously, if the man is supposed to be the head of the household, I don't know about you, but in my opinion, when you're the head of the household, that means the buck stops here. If nobody else can get it done, I'll get it done. This is the last line of defense. So if I have to depend on my wife to do some things I can't do, who's running my house? You thought this was just about outreach, didn't you? All right, I'll quit meddling. By the way, I can cook. Not as good as she can, but I can get it done. I can do dishes. I can mop floors. Not as good as she can, but I can get it done. Can I get an amen? Everybody wants a Proverbs 31 woman, but let me tell you what stands behind a Proverbs 31 woman. Are you ready? A man who will empower her to be that. A man who will give her the opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop spiritually at every opportunity. A man who will keep the kids and wash the floor and scrub the dishes so she can go once in a while and she can get fed and she can get led and she can get discipled so she can learn how to be a better woman than she's ever been before. And that man is a man that understands, if I invest in my wife, I get a better wife.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm on that right now, but let's move on. It's time for the church to rise up in the empowerment of God's grace and spread this word, not as a job, not as a task that we must take on, not as a costume that we got to go to church. Hey, listen, how many knows that half the people that come to church and put on a face like everything's okay when really they might be struggling this week? Maybe you didn't have to put on a mask last week, but you might have had to put on a mask this week because we come to church, God is good. When inside, maybe you're not feeling it. Inside, maybe there's a struggle. Inside, maybe there's a hardship. Inside, maybe you fought with your husband or your wife on the way to church, or maybe your kid did something that just has destroyed your whole idea of what you thought your family, whatever the deal is. All of us have those times, and all of us come to church, and all of us breathe through it. God bless you. And let's face it, we don't want to be that person that every time somebody, how you doing? Oh, well, you know. Oh, God, I'm sorry, guys. Nobody wants to be that person either. But there's somewhere out here in the middle that we're supposed to be, where even if there's something going on, we know that God's got it under control. Yeah, I was hurt when I got, you know, the other morning I had this terrible dream. I just rebuked the devil when I got it, but I had this terrible dream that my daughter, who I miss terribly right now, was crawling out on this thing and she slipped, and I watched her. It was so weird. It was like I watched her fall about 20 feet and land flat on her back, just pop. Man, I run over, you know, and she's all hurting and she's crying and I'm holding her, and it was just like real life. Like I just literally had her head in my hands and I'm holding her, and then I woke up. And I had this little moment because I was glad that she wasn't hurt. She wasn't there. And I turned around and I said, you know what, devil, you're a liar. You're not going to torment me. I'm not going to torment me. Yeah, I miss her, and it's hard because, listen, they all grow up and they all leave home. I didn't know when you had kids that they'd come that day with it. I mean, you know it, but you don't know it. They all get up, they all grow up, they all go home. You're left alone. You miss them, but you're glad that they're moving on. You're glad that they're developing. You're glad that they're maturing. You're glad they're going on in life. What do you do in those moments when you know it's right, but it still hurts? That's when you just have to begin to praise. That's when you have to begin to declare, my God is with me. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. It's a struggle, but I have His grace, and I have His love, and I have His joy. And listen, that same Spirit that comes and come, Bible calls Him the God of all comfort, that same God of all comfort that encourages you and strengthens you through those hard times and those troubles, is the same one that when you get out here and you get to working for God and the enemy's trying to attack you and people are making fun of you and things are not going your way and you're struggling to get a ministry going, but it seems like everything in the world won't line up to make it work, it's okay, because that same God that gave you comfort in those times is the same God that's going to give you comfort in them times. He's the God of all comfort. In every situation, He's there with us. Can you say amen? So we don't have to fake it, but out of the abundance of a heart that's full of worship and full of praise and full of love of our Father, we need to share it. We need to share it. Let that river of living water that springs up within you begin to just splash out on other people. Begin to just share the joy, the laughter, the peace, the smile. I pat a lot. I wink a lot. When I first come, some of the youth were kind of like, oh, yeah, that's that Dave guy. I'd be all fine. Hey, man, how you doing? I don't even think about it. It's not a conscious choice. It's just me loving on people. Why? Because there's so much love boiling up in my heart. Because I was lost and I was wicked and I was confused and I was destined for hell and trouble and wrath and pain and suffering. And he left the 99 and he come and he found me and he comforted me and he drew me to himself and he forgave me and he washed away my sin and he washed away the condemnation and he washed away the shame and he washed away the failure and he surrounded me in his love and he surrounds me in his comfort and he gave me his grace and he gave me his peace and he gave me his strength and he turned my life around and I'm never going to be the person I was then. And that same God that loved me enough to do it is the same one that says, now go and share this love with others. So yes, I'll pat you on the shoulder. I might give you a hug, and you know, I grew up in a different kind of church culture. I mean, come here, honey, it's safe for you. Come on. I grew up in a church culture, right? Where we go to church, like, hey, sister, where's the hey? Oh, God bless you, yes. And then I come to Spanish Lookout, and it's like, oh, hi. Yeah. If I hug you, it's because I love you, not because I think you're my wife. Can we get over all the stuff?
Amen.
And just love one another. Amen. Paul said, greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm going to set up a kissing booth. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, come on. We allow culture to affect more than we let the Holy Spirit affect sometimes. Just love people with the depth of your heart, with that same love that God loved you. Amen? I'm not saying get freaky with it. You know, don't make people uncomfortable. If I see somebody and they kind of hug like that, I'll just hug like that. But I don't want to make them uncomfortable. But if I see somebody like Shelly,
everybody knows Shelly Leona, right?
That's full on huggler. I mean, as soon as she walks in the door, it's coming. Boom! And I love it. I just give her a big squeeze back. She's my friend. Love them with the love of the Lord. Love them passionately. Love them with all of your heart. Love them to the point that they know that this is not a hello, God bless you kind of Christian love. This is, my God, I so care about what happens in your life. I will pick you up if you fall down. I will be with you when you're hurting. I will comfort you when you're going through a struggle. I'm your friend. I'm your partner in Christ. I'm a child of God, and I just want the love of God to shine from me to you. Can you say amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from Fusion. You can find more messages at fusionbc.com.